before we get into the spiritual warfare study, so we do have the booklets on the side. If you have not gotten a booklet yet, there are some empty ones or ones without names. Are they all done now? Okay, so it looks like we have to print some more. Okay? If you don't have one, though, we will get some more for you, but you also are able to follow along just on the PDF as well. This past week was really fun for me. I am fully recovered now from the retreat and stayed up late with the boys during the week. And also, we had a really good time away. The youth and myself, we went away for just 3 days to kind of just get away from the city and have some time together with God and together with one another. I wanted to say thank you to Fenny and her husband and Tracy. They came out, they brought some food on Tuesday evening for us. They brought dinner, so that was nice. And also thank you to you all for praying. I know that a lot of you guys were praying for us as we were away, so just wanted to say thank you for that as well. Next thing, for the spiritual warfare study, if you do want a pen, I'm going to give it to Andrew. He's going to just maybe pass it around. Because one thing that I forgot to mention last week is there is a section on the back that I've included where you can make notes. Okay? And this is your book. As long as you put your name on the front, feel free to highlight, feel free to mark it up, write on it, do what you want with it. But the hope is that you would be able also to just make some notes, you know, as we go along. If something jumps out to you that you're thinking about or you want to jot it down or a question that you want to follow up on, then it's good to just be able to write that down as well. So I'm just going to come around. If you need a pen, just grab one from him. Before we get into the study, let's just pray together. Father, this is a new journey for many of us. And we need you, Holy Spirit, because we need your revelation and we need your understanding of what it looks like to journey with a biblical worldview. And I just pray right now that, Holy Spirit, you would just take full control over the atmosphere in this space. I know that it's easy for our minds to wander and to think about different things, or to even get distracted. But I just ask right now that you would help us to focus on what you want to communicate to us here today. And I just pray that each step of this journey, each section of this study that we go through, that by your power we would be able to gain a little bit more insight into how you want us to live as your church and as Christians. In your name we pray. Amen. I know this is new for many of us, where we're starting this journey of learning about spiritual warfare. And I understand that for many of us, a lot of what is going to be taught is not things that you've heard before. And I think that when we hear things that are new or that have never been a part of our Christian journey or even our Christian upbringing, it's easy to disregard certain things. Or to turn our minds off to certain things and just say, well, you know, maybe that's for pastors or that's for the Christian that is very serious about their faith, but it doesn't apply to me. And I just want to warn us and encourage us to be on guard against that type of mindset. that as we go through this journey of learning about spiritual warfare, I can submit to you that it is absolutely applicable to all of us, as Christians, and even for those who are not. And we will have an understanding of what that looks like. But I shared last week that there are two things that at the end of this journey, if you have these two things, then you would have grown in your Christian journey. And the first thing is that you become more aware of spiritual things, the unseen world. And you actually begin to journey with a biblical worldview. Right? Do you remember last week, for those of you who were here, Samuel came up to the front. He did an amazing job as a volunteer, but he had the glasses on. And the point that I was trying to share is that how we journey, the type of worldview we have as Christians, all depends on the type of lens that we have, the type of perspective. And if our perspective is simply that we are just chasing after money or the things of this world, then we will journey with that perspective and that focus. If our perspective is on just ourselves, that everything is about us, even in our Christian journey, then we will also journey with that perspective. But if we want to have a biblical worldview, we will need to journey with a worldview that is rooted in the Word of God. And what will that mean for some of you? That will mean that you will have to completely deconstruct, tear apart, and gut out all of your other types of wrong thinking and wrong worldviews in order to build a biblical worldview. And this is what we are going to learn when it comes to spiritual warfare. So the first thing was, have a biblical worldview. And the other thing is that if we can change our mindset as the church, that we are not simply just coming in here today casually to have a nice service, to sing a few songs, to listen to a message, to fellowship after and then go home, and that's it. That's the end of our journey. That's the end of our service to Christ. Is that if we understand that we are at war and that we are in a war as Christians, there is a battle that is happening for my faith and there is a battle that is happening for your faith. And if we understand that there is also a battle that is happening for the salvation of the people that are around us, then I guarantee you that at the end of this journey, you would have become more aware than the majority of church-going Christians that exist within Canada. So we need to understand how this topic relates to us. Okay? So, biblical worldview and also understanding and changing our mindset to one of being a soldier of Christ. Okay? So, we have here this verse, Ephesians 4. And what I've shared here is that many times, maybe throughout this journey, you're going to think, why am I on this journey? Why do I need to know this? But my encouragement to you is to stay the course. Okay? You might feel tempted to stay away on any given Sunday, but stay the course. That is going to be my prayer for you. That is my encouragement to you. My job is to help equip you, okay, as the church. There are pastors, there are leaders. Our job is to help equip you and to train you up and to build you up and to spur you on. Okay, I'm going to start at the fourth point. So if we can scroll down, Lionel. The word says biblically. Awesome. Thank you. Biblically, part of the ministry for the church is to be aware of and engage in spiritual warfare. However, this is not a topic that is commonly taught in the church. Why? It could be that in some churches and religious settings, These teachings will not be very popular, nor will it fill the seats or the offering baskets, which are all unbiblical measures of success in the system of church that has evolved over the years. Okay, so I shared with you last week that we are doing something new here. I haven't really prepared a whole entire PowerPoint, but my hope is that as we go through this study, you will jot down some notes. We are going to discuss it in Sunday school. We're trying something new. Okay, but one thing we need to understand is that this is not a topic that is commonly taught in the church in depth. And the reason being is that in the majority of churches, there is a system. And that system exists so that people will come in, hear a nice fluffy message, be encouraged, and then go back home. Because the purpose of most of those churches is to ensure that the wheels keep running. Okay, and that people come back, and that people return, and that people give their tithes and their offerings, and that's what makes a successful church. The only thing is that Jesus never said any of those things is what makes a successful church. But we will actually be a healthy church if we have an understanding of spiritual warfare, if we live with a biblical worldview, if we have the mindset of a soldier of Christ, and we understand that we are at war, and we know how to stand firm in the midst of that war. And so we need to understand that we need to be aware of this, and we also need to engage. Okay, by the end of this teaching series, it's not just about you having some understanding of angels and demons and fallen angels and saying, oh, you know what? That's kind of cool. The snake that I thought was in the creation story doesn't actually look like what I thought it looked like. The whole point is not for you just to gain some more knowledge, but to be equipped so that you can engage in the war. There's no soldier in the history of joining the army where they sign up for the army and just say at the end of their training, they just want that name, they just want that title of being a soldier. No, they go through the training so that eventually they will get commissioned to go somewhere and to do something with the training that they have received. And that's the same for us. At the end of this journey, we actually want to do something with the training that we have received. We want to be able to engage in the war and to fight against our enemies. Okay? Some Christians just want to live their normal lives under the illusion that spiritual beings are not real. However, in order for us to be fully effective as God's church and disciples of Christ, we must learn about spiritual warfare and what Jesus taught us about it. Okay? It's easy for many of us to just be under this illusion that spiritual beings don't exist. I shared this last week, and I will probably share it every week, that from the moment you woke up this morning, there has been a battle for your faith, for your commitment to Christ, for your relationship with God, for the type of thoughts you have, for the things you think about yourself, for the thoughts that you have towards other people. Even right now, there's a battle happening right now. For how well do you receive this truth? Some of you are feeling sleepy, some of you are feeling tired. That is not just simply because maybe you stayed up too late last night. There are spiritual beings that are in this room trying to distract you and trying to get you away from hearing the message that God has for you right now, because that is their purpose. And we will understand that that is their purpose. But we can't live with the illusion that spiritual beings don't exist. Okay, this morning I was having a conversation with my son, Isaiah, and he's 6 years old. But we were talking about the war in Iran. And I just was sharing with him that, there's a war happening in Iran, but there's also a church in Iran. And if you guys don't know that, the church in Iran and China has exploded immensely. Authentic Christians and believers that are willing to give up their life for Christ. But there is a church in Iran. And I was encouraging my son that as Christians, God wants us to pray for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Even in places like Iran, in other parts of the world where maybe we don't fully understand what they're going through, but they're facing persecution. And so we were just talking about that, and one thing my son said is, as it relates to the war, he's just like, but Daddy, like, it's hard for me to care about the war that is happening in Iran, because I'm not there. And you know, I think for many of us as Christians, we kind of have that perspective. That it's easy for us just to be under the illusion because we're not actually there. We don't actually know what people are going through. And at the same time, sometimes we live with this same illusion that, well, you know what? There really isn't a war that's happening here. No, that's a war that's happening on the other side of the world. But is there a war happening right now for our own life and our own Christian growth and maturity and journey? Yes, absolutely. But many of us just want to live under this illusion that there is no war that is happening around us. We just want to be able to go about our normal lives, do all the things that we think are comfortable, and not understand that there is actually a war and there is a battle that is taking place right now for our own faith. Okay, so let's go to page 3. If we can scroll down. Okay, this attention thing is just, again, I shared it last week. When we talk about spiritual warfare, sometimes people feel fearful. The goal here is not to make us feel fearful, but to make us become more aware and to have a biblical understanding on this topic. Okay? So let's go to the top of page 3. Okay, and if there's anything that I want you guys to take away from today, it's going to be this idea of transparency, okay? This idea of honesty and being open with one another. Something that I've encouraged over the last couple of months, something that we are doing in our small group and our Sunday school time, but something that we will have to continue to do, especially as it relates to this topic of spiritual warfare, okay? So, top of page 3, the truth of the matter is that many Christians have experiences with spiritual warfare and demons. However, they either, one, refuse to talk about it because they fear that people will say that they are mentally ill and reject and ridicule them, or two, they are afraid to call certain things in their spiritual journey demonic, because if they do, they will have to deal with it. And some people are not willing to do so. Okay, next bullet point. When you talk about demons in the North American church, you will be ridiculed and rejected because many North Americans don't want to be reminded about the reality of demons, judgment, or hell. Sadly, many people just remain silent in fear of being rejected and are not open about their sins, struggles, or issues. As a church, we are not meant to suffer in silence. We are meant to openly confess our sins and share our struggles to one another so that we can be healed and delivered. James 5 says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." Okay, so here's the thing. If we're honest with ourselves, and we're honest with God, and we're honest with each other, there are many of us here right now who we struggle with condemnation, pride, shame, rejection, sexual perversion, lust, insecurity, fear, anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and the list could go on and on and on. But here's the point, is that we need to be honest with what we are struggling with. We need to maybe not come up here and share it with everybody, but we need to be honest with at least a few people about what we are struggling with. And I understand. Okay, my wife is half Chinese, she's half Korean. I always use that as a segue for why I can say certain things. But I understand that it is hard for Asian people to be open and honest about their struggles. I remember the one conversation that I had with Maureen. It still sticks with me to this day, where she just shared with me, she said, you know what, Pastor, the Chinese people, they're not good at being honest about their problems and their struggles and their shortcomings. And I understand that that may be a struggle, not just for Chinese people or Asian people, but for the majority of church people. And why is it that way? Well, because we've been taught, we've been trained that when we come to church, we just have this surface level type of conversation. We say hi, we say bye, how was your week, nothing too deep. And then we leave and we go home. Now the problem with that is not what Jesus intended for his church. And that is not what he desires for any church that would call themselves healthy or even successful. We look at success, or people look at success as, hey, as long as there are the numbers, as long as there is the budget that is being met or being met, that is success. But Jesus has a completely different definition of what is success in a church. And he says that one of the biggest things that you can recognize if a church is healthy or successful is, are they honest with each other? Are they transparent? Are they vulnerable? Are they willing to air their dirty laundry? Are they willing to talk about their struggles and their problems? Not just the good things, not just the great things that your children are doing, which are good and are great, and we like to brag and boast about all those different things. But how are we doing with the things that we are struggling with? Because Satan likes to keep things hidden. He likes us keeping things in the dark. Whether it's our struggles, or whether it's our problems, or even how we are doing spiritually. He likes when those things are in the dark. Okay, I was watching this week Law and Order, the one that's in Toronto. Really good show. But the one thing that came out of this week's episode is one guy said this line. He said, you know what the greatest trick that Satan has ever played on the world is? To trick people into thinking that he never existed or that he doesn't exist. That is the greatest lie and the greatest trick that the devil has ever played. That if we just simply continue to go through our Christian journey without understanding we have a real enemy, he's looking to destroy you spiritually, and he's looking to destroy your faith spiritually, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have victory, we can stand firm, and we can live in freedom, and we can understand how he operates. So we don't want to be tricked by Satan and just live in darkness. We want to be able to bring things out into the light, okay? And none of us are meant to suffer in silence, okay? We are supposed to be able to share and confess to one another so that there can be freedom. Okay, top of page 4. Things are not hopeless. Unawareness is very dangerous. The problem is that we have to be honest with ourselves and honest with other believers. We need to be willing to remove the garbage from our own lives and our souls. We need to deal with the negative aspects of our emotions and responses like fear, anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, pride, rebellion, and idolatry. We need to decide to take God seriously and get serious about our own spiritual lives and others around us. We need to face the possibility of rejection in order to be free and help others be free. 2 Timothy 1 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." Okay? So there's two encouragements here. You will have ample, immense amount of opportunity to share what you are struggling with and what your current joys are in this season of your Christian journey. But there can be this fear or this hesitation to actually share. But we will have the opportunity to do that. And for any of us who are willing, we will be willing to get serious about our spiritual growth. Understanding that being transparent and honest and open is a part of how we grow spiritually. And I'm not saying again that you need to come up here and share your testimony. But if it's the Friday adult group that's meeting, get plugged into that and become honest about how you are doing. If it's our small group or Sunday school after service, come out to that and get honest and real with how you are doing. If it's a one-on-one with myself or with another fellow brother or sister in Christ, make the efforts to be intentional and do it. I can't force you to do it. I can only help you to understand that it will be very invaluable for your spiritual growth and maturity to be able to be honest and open with other believers and to journey together and not keep things hidden or in the dark. But we will all need to decide for ourselves if we want to take God seriously and if we want to take our own faith journey seriously. I cannot decide that for you. You need to decide that for yourself about how serious you want to be about your own spiritual growth and also for the spiritual lives of for the people that are around you. Okay, last point, changing our mindset as the church. Okay, if our mindset as believers is only that we go to church on Sundays, pray, read our Bibles, and attend fellowship events, then we've missed the big picture. God desires that his church be an unstoppable force against the kingdom of Satan. And understand that we are in a war, that should say war, not where, for lost souls. People who are children of Satan, and also for the peace in our lives and our minds. Gaining a deeper understanding in spiritual warfare will change how we view the world, how we pray, how we evangelize, and how we do missions. It will also change our mindset towards the Bible, church, and ministry. And our mindset needs to be that of a soldier of Christ in the army of God. Okay, we can scroll down. This is a picture of me when I was actually in the army, in the Canadian Armed Forces. So I only served for 2 years, and then I got honorably discharged because they wanted me to go to Iraq. But most of you know I have a peanut allergy, so they don't want me in Iraq dying of peanuts, so I wasn't able to go overseas. So hey, God has a reason and a plan for everything. Maybe I wouldn't be here today sharing the word with you if I went to Iraq. But I did have the opportunity to go through the training and also come into 2 years of being in the military. But when I was there, I remember one of the most important parts of the training was that they were trying to teach us how to fight our enemy and to survive in war. How do you survive in the trenches of war? And how do you fight against your enemy, whoever that enemy is? Similarly, as Christians, we are engaged in a spiritual battle and war. First, we must take time to understand who our enemy is and what his tactics are, and then we must also train to fight and stand firm against our enemy. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. And Aaron just read this verse for us, and I'll read it again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What are the devil's schemes? We will learn about that throughout this study. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Okay, we need to understand something here from the Bible. Who is our enemy? See, a lot of times in the church we think, well, our enemy is the person to our left, or the person to our right. Or sometimes the enemy may even be the pastor because he said something that offended you, or said something that you didn't like. But we need to understand that as Christians, we only have one enemy. And that is the devil. That is the unseen rulers and authorities in the unseen realm. The kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, that is our only enemy. But how do we fight that enemy? How do we stand firm against that enemy? Because Satan only has one goal, and he is looking to steal, kill, and destroy your relationship with Christ, your ability to abide in Christ and be intimate with Christ. He's looking to steal your effectiveness for Christ, your effectiveness in the kingdom of God, actually growing to a place of discipleship and making disciples in the world. And he's looking to destroy the unity in the church. I believe that very strongly, because if he can destroy the unity in the church, then he can misrepresent everything that Christ stood for, everything that Christ prayed for, and everything that Christ desires in his body, which is for us to be unified and operating in love. So if he can destroy that example, well, he can destroy our witness to the world about who God is. So he is looking to destroy us. And here's the twisted thing about it. He takes absolute pleasure in destroying our faith, in destroying people's lives, in making sure that people never come to the revelation knowledge of who Christ is. He will take absolute pleasure in seeing people eternally separated from God. And so then that remains now a question for us. Are we okay with that? Are we okay just to stand by and watch the enemy destroy people's lives? Are we okay to just be casual with our own faith and our spiritual growth and allow him to destroy I'm not saying that we should be motivated by hate for Satan. No, we should be motivated by a love for God. But if we are motivated by a love for God and the things of God, then that will also spur us on to get serious about how we view our lives as Christians. Do we have this mindset of being a soldier? Do we understand that we are in a war? And are we willing to fight? For our own thoughts, for our own faith, for our own spiritual growth, and also for the spiritual growth of other people. Are we willing? Because this is what God requires of us, to be healthy. And the Bible is full of revelation and understanding of how we can stand firm against Satan and his kingdom. That when that day of evil comes, when the attacks come, and the attacks will come, when the storms of life come, and they will come, when troubles in life come, and they will come, it is inevitable. God reminds us that we will be able to stand if we take the time to build a biblical worldview. If we take the time to build a foundation that is rooted in the Word of God. And here's the thing. If we scroll up a little bit, our enemy, the devil, loves a church that is not aware of his kingdom and evil schemes. He loves a church that does not use their rightful authority in Christ. One of the main issues in the church today is that many believers just don't take the enemy seriously. They don't take their spirituality seriously. They don't take their own garbage and ungodliness seriously. If we are to see powerful change, we must be willing to deal with our own unhealthiness first and then seek to help others. Okay, that's an important point. I come back to that point of transparency and honesty. Okay, within our church, we have to be honest with ourselves first. We have to be willing to deal with our own unhealthiness first. That if we take time to understand, you know what, I'm not as committed to Christ as I know I can be. I'm not as serious about my faith as I should be. I'm not that committed to God as I should be. Well, be honest about it. Be honest with each other. We should be honest with each other. If that is our own unhealthiness, then we have to deal with it first, before we are able to then go and help other people. And so I believe absolutely God wants us to deal with certain things inwardly first. And that's why I told you that I don't believe I can teach you anything else from the Word of God until we have this understanding of spiritual warfare. Everything that I've taught you guys about identity and about what it means to authentically follow Jesus and what it means to give our life for Christ and die to self and live for Him, there's nothing more that I can teach you guys unless we have this understanding of spiritual warfare. Because there will be a battle. There will be resistance for where we go from here. And as a church, I believe that God wants us to take an inward look first, to take an inward examination of ourselves, of our spiritual condition, our spiritual maturity, and to see where we are at and be honest with God, honest with ourselves, and honest with each other. And by God's grace and by the power of Holy Spirit, there may be some change. There may be some transformation. There may be some eyes that are opened up. And then we will be able to journey together where we understand Satan and his kingdom more, but then we are also having a genuine desire to grow in our relationship with God and to get serious about our faith and to get serious about our spirituality. Okay? And so we don't want to be that church where we are just unaware of Satan and his kingdom and his schemes. Okay? We want to be able to understand what does Satan and his kingdom look like. Okay, and this is where we are going to go. So, we've had an introduction. This is part one. There's 23 more parts to go. Okay? And I guarantee you, by the end of it, Holy Spirit is going to open up your realm of understanding and build a biblical worldview in you. But this is just the beginning. Awareness, biblical worldview, and also having the mindset of a soldier of Christ. If you are committed to growing in those three areas of having a biblical worldview, having greater awareness of Satan and his kingdom, and growing as a soldier of Christ, then you will, I believe, grow. If you are willing to commit to growing in those three areas. But it starts here, with a willingness to be honest and transparent about our struggles and our sins and the things that we would desperately want to have from everybody else. That's the exact thing that Satan wants you to keep hidden and wants you to keep it in the dark. And my encouragement to you is take a step of faith, be bold, be courageous, and be willing to bring that out into the light. Bring that out into the open. Without any shame, without any fear of rejection, without any fear of judgment. And that's also a good point. When people share about their sins and struggles, our response should not be, "Ha, I'm better than you. See, I know that you were dealing with that." That's just pride. We need to be tender-hearted. We need to be compassionate. We need to be graceful. We need to be willing not to judge others, but be willing to encourage and support and pray for one another. Okay? But we will have to deal with our own unhealthiness first. And for those who are willing to go on that journey, then I believe that God will build us up as a healthy church. And a healthy church that will be able to stand against Satan and his kingdom and also make a huge impact in the world that is around us. Okay? And it will not be without resistance. I'm going to share this last point. Every time that I've taught on this, spiritual warfare, things get kind of weird. In my own personal life, and also in the lives of the people that are, you know, being taught this. What do I mean by weird? Well, weird in the sense that, you know, maybe things out of the ordinary start to come up. Where maybe you might even feel certain types of physical pain or even different types of sleeping patterns might be affected, or you might start to have feelings of, you know, apathy towards God or even towards other people. Here's the point, and I've shared this with you guys before. When you decided to get water baptized, I know there's a lot of rules attached to water baptism in church, but when you decided to get water baptized, you declared to unseen rulers and authorities that you no longer belong to the kingdom of Satan. But Satan is going to do everything he can to get you back. Okay, and so we need to understand that. There is a real war, and he is attempting to get you back on his side. But you are no longer on his side. And this is why we need to become aware of certain tactics and schemes. So I share that to say that I've asked many friends, pastors, fellow pastors, and leaders to be covering this journey in prayer. Why? Because I know that when you talk about spiritual warfare, The enemy is not just going to sit back and be like, clap and say, yeah, that's great that MCLCC is getting to know me and getting to know about my kingdom and getting to know about how I operate and getting to know about their own unhealthiness and their own struggles and how I operate and how I work. No, he actually hates that. He actually hates the fact that you are becoming more aware of him and his kingdom and how he operates. He doesn't like that. And so I've asked many people to be covering this journey in prayer, but I would also ask you to also pray as we go on this journey. Because it is not just going to be a casual journey. Okay, we are going to grow in our understanding, but I can absolutely guarantee that the enemy will not just sit back. There will be some resistance, and we'll see what that resistance looks like. But be reminded that through the power of Holy Spirit, if you are a born-again Christian, through the power of Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, you have the ability to stand, and you have the ability to resist everything that the enemy may try to throw at you. Okay? So again, it's awareness, not fear, and I'm excited to go on this journey with you guys, but also, we don't want to approach it casually, so just be mindful and also be prayerful as we go on this journey together, okay? So once again, if you feel you are a responsible person, you can take your booklet home, okay? You can read it throughout the week and bring it back next Sunday. If you feel that you are not that responsible, please leave it on the shelves to the left here, okay? And then we will use it again next Sunday. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to become more aware of things, God, that maybe if we're honest, we just haven't taken the time to understand it, because we all do have Bibles and we all do have the ability to read. But maybe we haven't been that serious about taking our own spiritual growth seriously. And so, Father, this is not a moment where there should be absolute reliance on the leader to teach and equip. Although that is needed, I just pray that we would all take on the responsibility of ensuring that we are healthy spiritually and that we are taking time to be in your word and understand what does this Christian journey look like as it relates to journeying with a biblical worldview and even having an understanding of things like fallen angels and demons. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would help us to not be fearful, but I pray that you would bring revelation and understanding. And as we go on this journey, may we go on it together. And I ask for healing, I ask for deliverance, I pray that eyes would be opened, hearts would be softened. Whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do it supernaturally. And I pray that you would prepare us and equip us to be the church that you desire for us to be. And I ask, Holy Spirit, for your protection and for your covering over each person, over each family, over each home in this church. Right now, I just pray against every attack and every scheme of our enemy. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would set a hedge of protection around every mind and around every life. That as we go on this journey and we begin to know and begin to understand how Satan works and how he operates, I just pray also that you would help us to understand how we stand firm and how we resist. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Christian. As Pastor Christian said,